This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit more about, remember we were talking about the kids, the illegal kids and what's happening to them and how you can't vote Democrat ever again because it's an act of evil. I'm going to piggyback on that with a story that's just unspeakably awful. We'll talk about that really quickly. I'm going to do some emails this hour. I'm not so sure that the city of Denver isn't going to fight the federal government. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And a reminder to you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I've tried the best I can to lay out in a family-friendly way what happens to especially young, attractive women and children when they are trafficked here illegally. There are stories, this one's from the National Pulse, about how the minors at the border seem drugged sometimes. It's because they are. What's happening across the U.S. southern border is the largest slave trade in the history of the world. We like to think we're all past slavery, and I wish we were too. Oh, no. They're slaves, and they're being hauled into this country, and they live in hell. Many of them do. In our country, and Democrats did that on purpose. And we've talked about the, quote, unaccompanied minors before. What happens there? What happens is sometimes, I know this is hard to believe, but it's true, sometimes children are given or sold to the cartels by their own parents in ugly parts of the world. Sometimes they're flat out kidnapped. Sometimes it's blackmail, but the bad guys get their hands on these kids. And it's so hard to even talk about. There's value in having child slaves because there are demons in this world. And what happens is they get these kids to the border with an adult who's usually not their parent, pretend to be an uncle or something, and they get them inside the country, and they understand that the child is going to be separated and sent off somewhere into the foster system. It'll go through an NGO, this or that, but they understand the child is going to end up somewhere. And the child is told beforehand, we're going to come pick you up. This happens consistently. And the child will eventually just disappear one day from the foster home or from the school. The child will go get in a van, in a vehicle, and the child is gone. Only gone is not actually true. You see, the child is then leaving this world that you and I know, this normal world of schools and hospitals and gas stations and grocery stores and churches and this normal world that we exist in. And the child is going to the underworld, the world that is also all around us, but that we don't see. If you're a cop listening to the sound of my voice right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. In fact, I can practically see you in your squad car nodding your head when I talk about this world other people don't see. And I have myself seen this world all around you. I'm sitting here in the outskirts of Houston, Texas, and I look out my window and there's restaurants and strip mall places, and ladies can get their nails done over there. And that's a hospital right up the road. That's what I see. But you know what else is all around me? Drugs, drug deals, human trafficking, all around me. theft all around me. An underworld operates outside of our view. These children, when they are picked up, they don't, quote, disappear. They go to the underworld where they live in hell. And there's a case that just reveals a little bit about what I'm talking about. Children ended up being, quote, housed in a strip club. And it's not just that they were housed in the strip club. They were then rented out for use by bad people. And Becerra, the HHS secretary, was asked about it today.
And children were pimped out by their aunt, which it turns out the aunt wasn't even related to the child, the so-called aunt. Are you familiar with that story that was in there?
There are a number of incidents that are reported in that Florida report. Some of them I can probably recall better than others. Some of them I would challenge and dispute, but that one I don't remember.
And do you remember the teenage girl that was in a house with unknown men with no private bedroom for her?
Oh.
Are you familiar with the sponsors that utilize a strip club in Jacksonville as an address for where this child, where a child should be settled?
Congressman, as I said, I don't have the information on that Florida grand jury report in front of me. I certainly can go back and take a look at it and try to get back to you.
Voting for Democrats is an act of evil now. It was not in the past. I'm not indicting you for your past votes, but to vote for this is an act of evil now. To vote for Democrats today is to vote for slavery. It's a vote for child predators to get what they want. It's a vote to reward the worst people in our society. And these people, like Becerra, they don't have any regrets about what they've done.
I want to ask you the Harris question. Would you change anything that you've done over the last 4 years in regards to illegal immigration?
Recognizing that we don't deal with immigration, that is part of DHS's authority. We deal with the care, the human services side of care for kids.
Would you change anything that you've done in the last 4 years with 320,000 children unaccounted for by your administration?
We work tirelessly to strengthen and improve the program of the UC, the unaccompanied children that come before us. And we work really hard to make sure we first and foremost protect the safety and the well-being of those kids. Every day is a challenge, and we do the best we can.
They don't have any regrets in the world about facilitating the largest slave trade in history. And look, this is about the kids, because that's really, it just guts me to no end. But it's not as if it's better for the young ladies either. It's really, really bad. And Democrats did it on purpose. And not only that, they're willing to fight the government to keep doing it. You hear this, Mike Johnston? You remember Mike Johnston of Denver? You may remember this little flashback.
I'm here to talk a little bit about the devastating impact of the failure of Republican leadership in Congress this week to pass comprehensive immigration change and the impact that will have on both city budgets and on services that we can provide for newcomers in the city. The second is we will start to have to greenlight a set of hard decisions about budget reductions across the city to meet those costs that we know will continue to arrive. We want to talk about two of those today. While they're the first steps, they unfortunately will not be the last and may not be the hardest. This is a plan for shared sacrifice. And so in terms of our first step on city cuts, we are announcing today we will make some changes both to our services at DMV and to our services on Parks and Rec.
That was Denver's mayor announcing they're going to start cutting the services to American citizens so more illegals can hoover up Denver taxpayer dollars. Today, in response to Tom Holman saying, you better get in line, this is what the mayor of Denver said. Quote, more than us having the Denver police stationed at the county line to keep them out, you would have 50,000 Denverites there, he said. It's like the Tiananmen Square moment with the rose and the gun, right? You have every one of these Highland moms who came out for the migrants, and you don't want to mess with them. This is in response to Tom Holman telling them all, you better cooperate.
It is under Democratic leadership that obstructs ICE in your federal agents that are helping get these deportations? What happens to them?
Well, first of all, if they don't help us get the hell out of the way, we're going to do it. If I got sent twice the amount of resources to that city, that's what we're going to do. If they would give us access to the jail, that would mean less agents in the community. For them pushing back and not letting us in the jail, it just means more agents are going to be in the community, so they're hurting themselves. Finally, I'll say this. They need to educate themselves. They need to review this. Title 8, United States Code, 1324, triple I. Read about that and don't cross that line, because it is a felony to harbor and conceal an illegal alien from ICE. Read the statute. Don't cross that line.
Now, I don't know if this goober Mike Johnston has it in him to mobilize the Denver police force and a bunch of soccer moms to try to fight the United States government when they're trying to deport illegals. I don't know if this is the guy, but I do know that we have had this conversation many times, you and I, haven't we? The system needs endless waves of foreigners. Global communism relies on it. That's how they intend to destroy Western civilization. They're not just going to hand them all back. It might be a spicy 4 years. Imagine that? Federal government squaring off with the Denver Police Department. And imagine you're a Denver cop who decides to put your life on the line to fight for illegals. Ugh, couldn't be me. Anyway, let's do some emails. Before we do that, let's talk about the IFCJ. Let's talk about the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews on the ground helping people. Over 40 years, they've been on the ground helping people. People who live in a war zone. People who have food needs, bomb shelter needs. Flak jackets are a huge thing that saves lives. Armored ambulances. You know, on October 7th, people lived because they were in the back of an armored ambulance, courtesy of the IFCJ. Some were not in armored ambulances, and they didn't make it. IFCJ saving lives, and you help them do it. Go to supportifcj.org to learn more, or call 888-488-IFCJ. Do some emails and make fun of Corinne Diversity Hire. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I am so excited to be here, and I'm so excited about the prospect of spicy chicken and dumplings tonight. What, Chris? Can you people can eat chicken and dumplings, right? You know, chicken and dumplings, in my opinion, it's okay. It's not world-changing. It's okay. But Ob says she's going to spice them up and buffalo them up tonight, kind of like a buffalo. Why are you turning your nose up, Chris? I'm going to tell Ob. It's not that there's too much vinegar in buffalo. It's that you have to find something to cut through it. There's nothing wrong with vinegar. Whatever. I'm going to do some emails. I don't want to talk to Chris anymore. Jesse, you just made the argument that politicians are weak dorks that seek office to try to compensate. As a failed politician, what does that make you? It's not very nice. He said, he was joking, by the way. He said, I love you, brother, continuing to pray for you and your family, and I thank you for it. Dr. Huge Hands, could you please persuade President Trump to appoint Senators Lankford and Cornyn to be ambassadors to Haiti or Cuba or perhaps North Korea? This would improve the Senate greatly. Look, we want to improve the Senate. We want the Lankfords. We want those guys gone. We want the Cornyns gone. We want the Rounds gone. We want the John Curtis of Utah. You should know there have been a bunch of leaks that John Curtis of Utah was a no on Gates, and that was one of the main reasons Gates didn't make it. Utah's blood red. We have to focus our anger where it belongs. It's not on John Curtis. It's on the Utah primary voter. It's not on John Cornyn. It's on me. I'm a Texas primary voter. I, Jesse, have not done enough to ensure that John Cornyn loses in his primaries. I'm not saying that to whip you or whip me. We have to own this. We did this. We GOP voters in the reddest states, we ignore our primaries. And here's why. I understand why. Because our states are relatively sane and comfortable. My state is not overrun with dirty commies. There aren't tranny parades in my hometown. We look around and it's fairly clean in these red states. Life is fairly safe. The animals aren't allowed to roam free. You know, in California, if you're a Republican voter, and remember the most Republicans in the country are in California, think what it's like for them. Think how easy it is for them to get motivated, to get more involved. You show up and the local Walgreens just shut down because the street animals were in there cleaning out the place and they had to close it down, and you're looking at the crime and the disrepair. And so every day you're kind of getting that little jab in the ribs that's motivating you. I got to get more involved. This is a mess. I got to get more involved. Look at me. I live in the red state of Texas. My town is clean. The schools are good. Everything's fine. There's a church on every corner. Where is my motivation? I'm not getting jabbed in the ribs come primary time to go out and vote for John Cornyn. I'm simply not. I can have a safe life. And my normie neighbors, that's where they are. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't need any more motivation to vote against that piece of trash. But it's the normies that cost us the primaries. Because they're safe. Because they're comfortable. Well, I'll go vote for the guy we have. It's not up to Trump. It's not up to Trump to take care of our Senate. It's up to us. We have to own it. And this is going to take a great deal of time. Because if you're typing up an email right now to me, screaming at me about how well-funded these senators are and how your state GOP has it all rigged for them, I know you're right. Everything you're writing in that email right now is correct. I know. Through years and years and years of neglect from us, we've been neglectful, they have put into place a system where they have a firm hold on power. It is our job now to begin the process of untying that knot. And when's the last time you had to untie a knot that was super, super cinched in? It takes time, doesn't it? You got to pick at it and work it and pick at it and work it and pick at it and work it and pick at it and work it. And that is what we are going to have to be resolved to do in our red states. Try as I might, we might not beat John Cornyn next time in the primary. We might not beat James Lankford. We probably won't. Maybe we will. We probably won't. But we can begin working those knots. We want to snap our fingers and have everything fixed, especially after we get a huge election win like the one we just had. We want to go out, put in the work, vote for them, drive people to the polls. You remember how hard you worked in this last election. We want to go out. We did it. We did the work. We won the election. Good. Now, go do what I wanted. But it doesn't work that way. 1,000 battles. 1,000 battles. The presidency is simply one of them. We can't just win that, put all our effort, all our energy into that, and ignore the others, and then turn around and throw our hands up one day and say, why isn't it all working? You won one battle and lost 500. How do you think that works? That doesn't work in your favor, all right? It's time to begin the process. That's all I'm saying. Like, this doesn't work.
We support Donald Trump and his agenda. That's it. That's it. They didn't go, we support Republicans. That is not what they said. They said, we support Donald Trump and his agenda. Therefore,
when your red state senator fears a primary, then we will be on the right track. Then he'll start doing the right thing. He will not do the right thing until he's afraid of the primary. That's it. Now, let's talk about pain and how much it sucks. And I'm really not talking about stub your toe pain, although that's no fun at all. I have big feet and I stub my toes a lot. I'm talking about the daily pain that holds us back from doing the things we like. Did you used to run, walk, play golf? Are you in pain as you work around the house? Your hands hurt, your back? Don't ignore it and don't take something to mask it. That's friggin' terrible for you. Try Relief Factor. Relief Factor, it's natural. It's 100% drug-free. Uses natural ingredients that support your body's natural response to inflammation. It can take care of that pain, not mask it. Take care of it. Try it for 3 weeks. $19.95 is all it costs to try it. If it doesn't work, don't order anymore. Almost everyone does for a reason. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. It's been a long slog, and we'll just keep on marching, shall we? Now, let's make fun of Corinne Diversity Hire for continuing the most insane, dumbest political strategy I've ever seen in my life. You've heard me just marvel at this several times. In fact, I've done it several times this week. The messaging from Democrats about inflation. You can't tell people who are hurting how great things are. You can't tell them that. It doesn't work that way. But when you have completely isolated yourself into the ivory towers of academia and the media world, you eventually get, look, power does this to people. You eventually get the impression that you can just manifest things, that you can just say something and have it be reality. People are struggling. You don't tell them
this. As Americans prepare for Thanksgiving, there's one more thing to be thankful for. Much needed relief at the grocery store and the gas pump. For the second year in a row, the average cost of a Thanksgiving meal is falling, and many grocery chains are offering deals for the holiday. According to the American Farm Bureau, the average price of the typical Thanksgiving dinner fell 5%, with turkey prices down 6%. And as more Americans are getting ready to travel to see family members and loved ones, the price of gas has fallen to its lowest point in more than 3 years.
You know how communists think? Let's talk how communists think. Remember, these are religious people. Religious people. They're not political. They are religious. They are completely devoted. They believe that destroying whatever society they're currently destroying, I mean, they want to destroy all societies, but they believe whatever society they're currently destroying, they believe that revolution is the great good. The revolution is all that matters. You can do anything, say anything in service to the revolution, and it will be a good thing. And along those lines, they don't ever think they have to change their ways. Because again, they're putting on a revolution. The revolution can't stop. It, just because you're upset about it or just because it's destroying things, the communist looks at every single popularity problem as simply a messaging problem. That's it. Either we have to lie better or we have to control media outlets more. But whatever it is, we simply have to control what the people are hearing more because he's such a tyrant. He's such a control freak. Everything just involved. Well, you know what? Let's just lie differently. Hey, that lie didn't work. Can we come up with a different lie? Remember NPR?
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Stop worrying about the truth. What matters is what? Getting things done. And of course, the things that need to get done is the burning down of the West. Jesse, please don't use my name, but I have a question for you. Maybe you know the answer. How did Obama make so much money to buy a mansion in Martha's Vineyard? That's why they hate Trump, so on and so forth. I love your show. Let's talk about power and money in these politicians and how a lot of this stuff works. A lot of the congressional stock trading you see, a lot of that is simply insider trading. And that is huge. And really, the only way to prevent that is to get the government out of business. The second we married the government and business, we have signed ourselves up for corruption. Because if I'm a member of the House, I'm a congressman, I am, because I'm involved in the government, the government's involved in business, I'm going to have access to information about things that are coming that are going to affect this industry or that industry. I'm going to have knowledge of these things. And so I will inevitably know. I'll have a committee hearing. It's something in private, something you don't know. I'll know something that the normal people don't know, and I can sell something or buy something and make a bunch of money because I have the foresight to know it. That's one way. And look, it's not an accident. Nancy Pelosi, when asked about her really remarkable stock trading ability, said this.
You put members of Congress and their spouses be banned from trading individual stocks while serving in Congress.
No, I don't know to the second one. Because this is a free market and people, we are a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't ban us. It's a free market. It's free market. Oh, did I just make another great trade just in time? Wow, no way. Okay, so that's people in the House and Senate. Now let's talk about the Obamas because you asked about that specifically. It doesn't just apply to them. Think about secretaries of state, secretaries of the Treasury, SecDef, any of these huge political appointments. This is why they're so treasured by people. Marco Rubio, actually, is a good example. Some people have emailed in and asked, Jesse, I don't understand why Marco Rubio would leave the Senate to go be Secretary of State. At best, he's going to be Secretary of State for 4 years, and then he's gone. He could have been in the Senate for another 20 years. Well, once you are president, Secretary of State, once you have these achievements on your resume, it turns into money and business opportunities that you and I cannot understand or relate to. And I've only glimpsed into this world since I started doing this. And since the show ended up getting so big and popular, I've started to glimpse this world. I've told you before about the billionaire who tried to fly me on his private jet to his mansion to have dinner with him. That happened to me. I've had groups reach out. And they, you know, they want to write you a check to come give a speech or something somewhere. And then I figured out you have to ask for that. It's crazy. You'll see these things online about Hillary Clinton was paid $250,000 to give a speech at Harvard. Michelle Obama, thank you, Chris, for that. $750,000 for an hour. That's her rate for speeches. Once you have achieved this lofty position, then universities, corporations, wealthy people around the world, they will want to pay you for your services, and you can amass money so quickly you can't even imagine it. Think about this. Let's say you're a normal human being. You worked a normal job your entire life, and let's say you get elected to the Senate, and then one day, boom, you're Secretary of State. It's kind of like the Marco Rubio story. Boom, you're Secretary of State. Well, you've only ever made 175 grand a year. Not what senators make, roughly 165, 175 grand a year. That's what you make as a senator. And I'm not dogging on that. That's amazing money. But it's not super wealth. You're not flying on private jets. And then you leave. You're done being a Secretary of State. You leave. Now, what's the rate going to be for Marco Rubio? If Michelle Obama's 750K, Rubio's going to be easily 100. Secretary of State's a big deal. 100, maybe 150. So 10 speeches a year? Do the math. I realize I went to community college and I had to retake algebra a few times, but $100,000 a speech, 10 speeches a year, you're a millionaire. You're now making $1 million a year. That's working 10 days a year. There's so much money in achieving these levels of power. The Obamas signed a multi, that was hundreds of millions of dollars deal with Netflix when they left. You are so wired in. You have so much access to so many other people who have money, who have opportunities. It's a license to get rich. The Clintons didn't have two nickels to rub together when they took the White House. Now they're stupid wealthy. That's how it works. It's corrupt. It's ugly. It's politics. Let's talk about politics and money. There's something coming out from the National Science Foundation that's kind of helpful to pay attention to. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get all your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com or leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now, I only bring up this story. It's from Campus Reform. I didn't do the research. They did, because I just want everyone to remember how much of the disgusting commie activism out there we pay for. The National Science Foundation, that's your money, I should know, your money. The National Science Foundation, they awarded $3.2 million to Yale. Why? Because Yale has a professor that made a documentary, and the documentary was about, quote, empowering black scientists. I know it's crazy, it's commie, it's divisive, it's racist, and it's wrong, but we pay for these things. Shutting off the money supply to these putrid universities and scientific institutions would clean up so much of the rot. But this goes to, it honestly, it's more than anything, it's a bright, shining example of the system, which we talk about all the time, how the system works. You have this corrupt institution called Yale. You have the corrupt institution called the United States government that funds the other corrupt institution called the National Science Foundation. And they want to make sure Yale is well compensated for pushing more communism, which inevitably will help the government in the end. So you simply find a way to bloodsuck $3.2 million from the taxpayers' wallet and find a way to hand it to Yale so they can continue their work of promoting communism, divisiveness, and the destruction of the country. That's how the system works. Jesse, I'm a sophomore at Madison Early College High School in North Carolina. In my American literature class, we are reading Arthur Miller's The Crucible. I want your opinion on the play, as well as Arthur Miller himself, as the book seems to heavily infer a liberal ideology. Arthur Miller himself was known to be very anti-McCarthyism, and I just wanted a better stance on who McCarthy was, what McCarthy was, other than what my libtard school teaches. McCarthyism bad, communism not that bad. God bless and thank you for your service. Okay, so remember, American liberalism, it was always, always, always a watered-down branch of Soviet-style communism. It always was that. This is not a new phenomenon. People are just seeing it more now because it has grown up, it has stopped watering itself down, and it's kind of reached this final, nasty, destructive, divisive form. So now you see it. But it was always an offshoot of communism, a watered down, more palatable version of communism, liberalism, leftism, being a Democrat. It was always an offshoot of that. Democrats understood that. They've understood that forever, that it was, look, FDR was being accused of being a communist and a socialist, which of course he pretty much was. But they've been fielding these accusations forever. And they have responded by doing this. They have responded by watering down communism itself in schools because they know that label is going to fall on them eventually. That's why your class will do 2 months on the evils of Adolf Hitler and 2 days on the evils of Mao. They don't want you thinking about Mao. They want you only Hitler's the monster, Hitler this, Hitler that. But there are all these commie monsters who don't get that much time. So that's part of what they do. Another part of what they do, this is all designed to play defense, and this has been going through our education system for decades and decades and decades. Another huge thing about what they do is treating any accusations of communism or investigations into communism as being ridiculous or tyrannical. That's a witch hunt. Oh, that's such a conspiracy theory. Oh, we don't have commies here, or we don't hunt down Americans for their political views. We're not going to do McCarthyism here. And they've actually turned McCarthyism into some sort of an insult for people. This sounds like McCarthyism. You can even find low-T losers on the right who will say things like that. This sounds like neo-McCarthyism. Well, who was McCarthy? He was a United States senator that understood the Soviet Union was very, very intentionally bringing communism to the United States of America. If you'd like to read more about that, it's available in a wonderful book called The Anti-Communist Manifesto that's available at jessekellybook.com. But I digress. And McCarthy was out there saying, these communists, they are taking over Hollywood, which they were. They started taking over the Hollywood unions so they could control the media. And in fact, I lay it out in the book. They started making pro-communist films. McCarthy was saying they're taking over the education system. These communists are taking over the government. They're getting involved in the government. And of course they were. And the Soviets were very, very purposeful about it. The Soviets weren't even that shy. But American liberals were so concerned with that communist label, and more than anything, they were concerned with the American people being hyper aware that they themselves were communists, that they took a guy like McCarthy and they turned him into some whack job conspiracy theory crank. Oh, that McCarthy, he was way off base. Well, McCarthy said communism was coming to Hollywood and the media and the education system. How off base was he? And he was correct about everything he said. Now, and McCarthy was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. You don't need to worship him at all. But in general, whoever your history teacher in school hates, if they're American, in fact, if even others, but if they're American, I'm not saying that guy's a good guy at all, but that's somebody you should probably look into more. Doesn't matter the school. Doesn't matter where you're going. Your child will come home from school these days because they've set this stuff in stone for so long. Your child will come home from school and your teacher will have taught the only acceptable thing to teach. Andrew Jackson was a monster. Andrew Jackson was a stud. A beast. We have this country because of people like Andrew Jackson. But that's not acceptable to teach in school. So all these brain dead teachers teach is the Trail of Tears. And they act like that's all the guy ever did. He did much, much more. Anyway, I hope that answered your question. Let's talk about Vladimir Putin and ICBMs. First, let's talk about saving a life. Let's talk about preborn. Preborn, and you have saved so many lives. You know that preborn saves 200 lives a day? And the fight goes on. In fact, the fight has gotten worse for us because of the pill, because of the abortion pill. That's what we're up against now. The easy access to kill your baby. How do we fight back against that when you can order it? You fight back by giving to preborn so they can give that young mother an ultrasound instead of an abortion pill. If she can just hear that heartbeat, she will choose life. But without that ultrasound, that baby's going to die. $28 saves that baby's life. That's what it costs to give that woman an ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give what you can. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.